From the Employee Benefits Work Group requesting authorization to amend Section 17.18 and 17.184 of the Milwaukee County Code of General Ordinances as it pertains to sick leave policies regarding sick allowance accrual and payout or credit at retirement. This item was also referred to the Committee on Finance and Audit, who laid it over to the call of the chair.
Mr. Grady.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, what you have before you is what I would call the last piece of a long discussion. We've had discussions going back 6 months or more related to vacation policies, sick allowance policies, and have enacted ordinance amendments to reflect changes in almost all of those areas. However, as you will recall, it was on the county board floor a couple months ago. There was not an agreement with respect to what the sick allowance policy should be for current employees in terms of whether there should be a cap on the accrual of sick allowance, and if so, how much it should be, and whether there should be a payout of sick allowance at retirement or a use of the value of sick allowance for health insurance at retirement. The Employee Benefits Work Group at one point in the past had recommended a cap of $960 and had on the accrual of sick allowance and had recommended changing the payment formula so that rather than using the wage at the time of retirement, you use an average, at least a finalized salary formula. The county board adopted that change in the payment formula but did not adopt any cap on the accrual of 6 months, and that's where we are today. What you have before you is a proposal that would create a cap on the accrual of 6 months for the future of $960, which is approximately 6 months worth of 6 months. And would eliminate payout for any cash value for health insurance at retirement for those hours that are accrued in the future. The $960 is obviously greater or more generous than the county executive's proposal and some of the supervisors' proposal for $240. On the other hand, this proposal is less generous in terms of the payout because it eliminates the payout as opposed to just changing the formula. The $960 it would take a new employee approximately 10 years to accumulate that much sick allowance. That's how it's called. $96 a year, approximately. And the committee felt that the workers felt that $960 is appropriate because it is consistent with what we found in other governmental entities in Wisconsin. They're not all identical, obviously, but we did find a lot of other governmental entities that use 960 as an accrual cap. With respect to payout, the policies are a little more varied on that. Some have payouts, some don't, some have been pointless, some only have it used for health insurance. So there's a little more variability on that. In addition, $960 was 6 months of 6 months. We felt was a more reasonable number because it sort of coincides with 6 month leaves of absence that are possible in the social service rules and put bills in that leave of absence time. It ties in with other human resource policies that we have. Maternity leaves are necessarily 6 months, but can be more than a couple of weeks. And so we felt it was an appropriate number for those. Now, I can't speak to why county executive data here, but Holloway felt it was an appropriate number, but that was what the work group was saying. It's comparable to other public entities. It's consistent with our human resource policies on leave of absence and civil service rules. To be clear, that this change is effective January 1st for most employees. It cannot be effective until January 1st, 2013, for the nurses again, to get rid of contract. And none of this affects staff and sheriffs and firefighters, whom you have to negotiate these benefits. But for everyone else, that's going to be effective. It would affect accruals in the future. It does not affect the amounts that you have already in your bank if you are over that amount. So an employee who has $1,500 would keep their $1,500, but they would not accrue any more because they're already over the cap of 960. Should that employee in the next several years while they're working here use 1,000 hours of their $1,500 for legitimate reasons, they would go down to $500 and they would again begin accumulating up to the 960 cap. That same employee gets to retirement and they have $500 of their pre-January 1 time, $460 of their post-January 1 time. $500 of this pre-January 1 would be either paid in cash under the formula that applies, or it would be used for cash without health insurance. $460 was accumulated after January 1 would have no value. There are other scenarios I could walk through that helps you see how this is going to work. So with that, I'll follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Grady. Supervisor Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Mr. Grady indicated, this has been a longer process, but I think it has resulted in a reasonable solution. I did favor the lower payout, but I appreciate the work of the work group and the sort of meeting of the minds between the county executive and the county board chairman that has achieved the resolution that's before us today. I think most importantly, it brings some greater sense of reasonableness to the sick leave issue and establishes it truly for what I think it was originally intended to be and not, as it's grown over the years, to be a cash, significant in some cases, cash payout at retirement. It brings it back to sick leave for purposes of using the time off for illnesses. While I favored the lower number, I am going to move to approve the recommendation that's before us today to amend the ordinance.
Thank you. Supervisor Schmidt.
Mr. Grady wanted to comment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll wait. Thank you, though.
Thank you, Chairman and Supervisor. There's one other point I want to make, and that is that Martin County, unlike some counties, and certainly unlike most private entities or many private entities, does not have a short-term disability plan that's sponsored by the employer. Other than employees have the option to buy it, we give them availability. The employer doesn't pay anything for it, subsidy from the employer for it. And Supervisor Lipscomb has continued to ask the work group to look into short-term disability policy. And the work group itself has talked about what's called a paid time off policy, a PTO policy, which a lot of private businesses use. We've never used that model in Martin County, and most governments don't use that model. But the work group does intend to continue to look at that model as a way to go forward. It may ultimately be that a PTO policy connected with a short-term disability policy would be a better human resource policy for Martin County than our sick loans. It may also be that we could wrap a short-term disability policy around the sick leave benefit and reduce the cost of such a policy, but those are things we're going to be looking at. And so I don't want you to get the impression that this is the end necessarily of the road. We may or we may not come back to you with some other recommendations on this whole area. But in the meantime, it is clearly an area that policymakers have expressed interest in amending or changing.
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the remarks of my colleague, too. We were trying to get this. Has been a long time running. We started this in May. I'm glad Mr. Grady made those comments because I was the first supervisor back then to question this whole and to ask about short-term disability and the combination employee pays or the combination, either the employee does or maybe the employer to help in the situation. I guess that this is a pretty complicated issue, and it's a big benefit that Milwaukee County has, and that's why we need to, I think, to move slowly on it. I was trying to represent what I heard from unions. Ms. Ali, I thought, made some very good points initially back in May in asking about this. That was the concern. We had a long discussion in finance yesterday and in the morning meeting of finance. And just asking about the point being, it tends to be this way. I don't know how you do fairness all the way across. We try to be fair to everybody. It never works out. In contracts, either you get the newer people get the boost or the people at the end, and instead it never really works out completely fairly. But in this situation, it was brought out that those who are our best workers are workers who are there every day, who don't take sick leave, okay? They accumulate those sick leave hours, and they're the ones that are the people who've been taking all this time. In other words, our experienced employees, our best employees, our employees that are there every day seem to get the end of the stick on this because they can't accumulate any more than that 960. Now, I think 960 is a generous offer, by the way. Okay, that is 6 months. most you know, catastrophic illnesses, heart, hip, whatever, you know, that's, you know, 6 months should be pretty good convalescent time. I know you can't solve everything you want, but we did ask the work group to look at these things, and you were the administration and the work group, so you kind of did double duty in all this. And so I had some questions that I thought should have been answered in that. Now, I don't know if you want to answer the last question I just raised. That was the main hang-up for a lot of members on the Finance Committee and why they put it to the chair, but hopefully would come back earlier. You know, we have a motion to approve here. So may I ask finally, by making those statements, because this is, I think, a very important issue to a lot of people, is the work group backs this. Now, you mentioned, well, it's the county executive and the county board chair. But it's the work group who did all the work and put the time into this. So you stand by the work group, and you as the chair of the work group stand by and say, this is the best solution we can have in this kind of situation. And how do you answer the question of it really kind of penalizes the workers who really, you know, are there day in and day out on the job? And we never got the financials on this. What's the savings? And that was a problem, I think, in this whole discussion, too, is you always like to have fiscal notes with things. If we don't, so people get to 960, they no longer take more than 960. And it says for a new hire, it takes 10 years to get there, like you said. So, and we wanted to make sure we didn't have the problems. We had one case that was publicized well enough, the media don't have to go through that. Okay, so we needed to take some of these steps without question. So, as usually, I'm convoluted here and kind of try to look at both sides.
As usual.
And what else is new? But could you answer that last question for me? I think that was the outstanding question in the financials that we didn't get yesterday. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, in reverse order, there is a fiscal note attached to this that Mr. Manske prepared. I'm not going to begin to address all of it, but I think what I would say to you as the non-fiscal person with respect to the fiscal part of this is that most of the savings here are going to be down the road.
Yeah.
Because we are, by law, required to preserve what people have accrued already. And so those people who retire will still, unless they use it between now and then, now and retirement, will still have it at retirement to be paid or use it for cash value. So the savings are going to come primarily with new hires, I think. And those, Mr. Manske gave some figures yesterday that are in the fiscal note that I think there's 500 and some employees who have over 960 hours currently. There's something like 1,200 employees who are eligible to retire. So there's 700 employees who don't even have the cap who could retire. So as they accumulate more going forward, you will be cutting off that liability going forward for those people who are under the 960. And so there is a reduction in your liability going forward. I don't want to speak to the dollar amounts, but they're in the fiscal note. So with respect to the fiscal note, I think that's as much as far as I would like to go myself. With respect to the work group and its recommendations, I mean, I want to be careful here because the work group is not a policymaking body. I mean, we're here to serve the policymakers. And so it is a broad cross-section of people from both the administration and from county board and our office. And it does really have, I think, within the management of the county and the policy advisors to the policymakers, the best cross-section of people with knowledge on these issues that exists. I mean, everyone here in this work group knows this, knows county benefits fairly well. And so I think we understand these ramifications that have been talked about. I mean, Ms. Ali and the speakers that spoke yesterday at Finance about people who come in every day, they never use their sick allowance, and now you're essentially taking it away from them. Well, first of all, you're not taking it away from anybody up to today. You're taking it away in the future. And so the question is, what's the risk-reward that you're offering employees here? Are you creating a disincentive? Should you be incentivizing employees in some way to come to work and other than through the accumulation of sick allowance? Is that the right way to incentivize employees? I mean, those are ultimately questions for the policymakers to decide. We were reacting to the direction we felt we had been given to make recommendations for changes in this area. And so with that caveat, I would say, yes, the work group was fully behind this. I'm sitting here because I'm the chair between the second and third floors, portions of the work group, but I'm sort of in the middle. And so that's why I'm the chair. not because of any expertise or anything else. And so we wouldn't, this memo wouldn't be from the work group if we weren't behind the proposal.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, we have one person from the audience that wishes to address this item, Mr. David Eisner.
Good morning, Chairman, Supervisors. Dave Eisner, Contract Administrator from District Council 48. Our public policy director did, as far as she advised me, distribute a you know position paper basically to the County Board Supervisors regarding this matter. We spoke about it yesterday at Finance and Audit. The County Executive's representative yesterday indicated that this item had been discussed with the unions. There was testimony by Candace Ali from the Nurses Union. I see there's a representative from the Nurses Union here that could speak on this also, but and also from AFSCME that indicated that this item was not discussed with the unions. It has not been. It to date was not. We have some issues and some concerns about this. Our position and our request to the committee is we're asking that you concur with the action of Finance and Audit and lay this matter over. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chairman, thank you. And actually, that's a good segue from Mr. Eisner, because I'm sitting here thinking that the precedence of the Finance Committee layover till call of the chair is as close to, you know, limbo land as possible, because there's no defined date, okay? So then the action by this committee is to approve. I feel like a hamster on a wheel. Then we're going to get to the board floor, and I mean, let's play the scenario out here. So, I mean, I'm not sure we're any closer to a resolution than we were, you know, before Finance even brought it up. So, I mean, I'm fascinated by how this thing is working out, and unless there's some Robert's rules that someone is going to share with me that we can actually get this moving, we're just spinning our wheels.
Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, when Committee on Finance was considering layover yesterday, they were doing so because they realized they had another meeting next week on November 2nd. It's a budget hearing, but they thought they might be able to schedule this. So that's why they were concerned, because a layover would not come up until the middle of December. So if they were able to get the Supervisors concerns addressed before that, they might schedule it for next Wednesday.
So that's why they went call of the chair?
Yes.
Okay.
You said number seven.
Okay. But all right. Well, it makes it a little bit easier for us to swallow. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Supervisor. Any other questions or comments? We have a motion by Supervisor Rice to approve. I would just like to point out that if Finance does not take any action on it, we always do have the opportunity to refer it back to the committee on the board floor, pull it back to. If they do take action and we don't take action, then we have the reversal happening next week with Finance with action and Personnel with inaction. But your point is well noted, so please call the vote.
Borkowski.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Cesars.
Aye.
Rice.
Aye.
Haas.
No.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Five ayes, one no. The motion is approved.
Thank you very much. Item number seven.